Attention, everyone! Wayfair's Black Friday preview sale is here early! Right now, score up to 70% off everything home at Wayfair. Shipped in time for the holidays. Shop early Black Friday deals now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
231. That's the average number of apps used by many companies. This leads to a lot of context and tab switching that drains employee focus and costs your company. Grammarly can help. Grammarly's AI works in over 500,000 apps and websites, making it easy for your team to write clearly and on brand without disrupting workflow. Join 70,000 teams who save an average of $5,000 per employee per year using Grammarly. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more.
Welcome to Let's Talk Midlife Crisis. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Tracy. We're your go-to hosts for all things midlife, menopause, and moments of pure mayhem.
Whether you're navigating hot flashes, chasing new passions, or just trying to remember why you walked into a room.
We got you. Every week we bring you tips, real-life stories, and expert advice to help you laugh, learn, and thrive through this wild midlife journey. And we're on WDJY FM 99.1 every Monday morning at 9 a.m. So to all our ATL listeners, thank you for tuning in.
So grab your favorite drink and settle in for some laughs and insight. You're in good company.
Relationships and the 11 dating rules you should probably try to follow.
Okay.
Yeah. So I just thought this was kind of funny, and I thought it's good banter. And of course, as always, we'd love it to be interactive. So let us know what your thoughts are. Here's a couple questions. First one is, how many times is too many times to get back with your ex?
Oh, gosh.
I know.
I've been guilty of doing it way too many times.
Me too. I was thinking that. My last ex, gosh, we were on again, off again so many times.
Yeah.
And the last time I knew it wasn't going to work, but I stayed in it. And it was like, why?
I think it really depends on how healthy the relationship is. And again,
right.
Is it healthy if you're breaking up and getting back together? Probably not. I don't know. I mean, my last marriage, we were together a total of 6 years.
That's right, I forgot.
And I can't even begin to tell you how many times we broke up and got back together. And that was even before we got married. We were only married the last 3 years of that. So okay. Even in the first 3 years, there was a lot of back and forth. Then I still married him. And then there was a lot of back and forth through the marriage. So.
And I remember probably the last half of
that. Yeah. So it was very volatile, and I never should have gotten back after the first time, you know, hindsight. But yeah, I don't know. I guess it depends on the circumstance. I would say once or twice.
I was thinking that too.
Yeah.
Maybe twice.
Maybe sometimes you just need a break to kind of sort things out in your life. And, you know, if you feel like this is really my person and I don't know if I'm ready, maybe I just need to kind of take some time.
Right.
You know,
if you love someone, set them free. If they come back, it was meant to be. Yeah. But the expert opinion is, if you've broken up and gotten back together two or more times, it's time to take a hard look at this pattern and the relationship.
Yeah, I think
we're both right on at two.
Yeah, that's good advice.
Yeah. How many dates does it take to ghost someone?
Oh, one.
Right? But what if you're in a relationship for 3 months and then someone starts ghosting you? And you might be worried about it.
Right. I mean, honestly, I don't think it's ever cool to ghost someone. I think you should just be upfront and say how you're feeling. And, you know, I think a lot of times, you know, after one date, this is not going to work.
Right.
And you should just tell them, hey, I don't see this going anywhere.
Right.
Sorry, you know?
Right.
I just think ghosting's kind of rude, but I think after one date, if that's how you feel and you don't feel like you need to say anything to them, ghost them. But yeah, I think 3 months in, that's mean.
Yeah.
You should talk to them.
An expert opinion is, it's better to communicate regardless of how many dates you've had. So you're absolutely right. Even if there's just been one date, it's always better to know where you stand with someone rather than to receive no communication
at all. Yeah, it's respectful.
Yeah. Okay, here's a funny one. Is it okay to stay friends with an ex's mom?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I
don't. Honestly, okay, well, I have to say, with my past relationships, because of...
Children, don't take children out of the equation. So let's just say you like met somebody and you're dating.
If the father of my children was, you know, a good father and was present in their lives, I would have been fine with him still communicating with my mom. Right. Absolutely. He's the father of my children. But even in my current relationship, you know, God forbid something happened and we don't stay together, I know the bond that they have, and I would be heartbroken if that was lost. Yeah. I would appreciate that they stay in touch.
Right.
As hard as it would be not for me not to be with her, I know that relationship is very meaningful to both of them, and I would be okay with them maintaining that. So, I think, again, it's kind of depends on the situation.
Right. I don't think I'm friends with any of my ex's moms. Yeah.
Yeah. I, after the father of my children, after we divorced, I was still friends with his mom.
Right.
Because I had her grandchildren.
Ex-in-laws, I don't think.
Right.
Count. Yeah.
But so she, when we were in town, would have us over for dinner and things like that. Right. And I wanted them to maintain a relationship, you know, my kids and her. And
especially
then my ex found out it was happening. I wasn't aware that he didn't know, but he found out and he put an end to it. He told his mom, no, absolutely not. Like, which was so sad because that broke up the relationship that my kids had with their grandmother.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's very unfair, but yeah, I mean, I
don't think so.
I don't, honestly, I don't think my mom, I don't even know if she would maintain a relationship with Paige because of her devotion to me.
Right.
But I think if she knew it was okay, she might. Yeah. But she's very, my mom is all for Ashley, which is awesome.
Right.
As mom should be. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Experts say to respect how your exes feel about the situation, it's best to defer to what your ex feels comfortable with and respect their answer. It's their mom after all.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And here is a funny question. I think it's kind of a no-brainer, but who knows? If someone says, I love you during sex, does it count? Do they mean it? And this is the first time they say it.
Oh.
Hell no.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
I don't think so either. You could be with someone that you're, you know, maybe you enjoy your time with them and you have fun together, but you don't really necessarily feel, but you could have amazing sex and be like, oh my God, I love you.
And it just comes out. Yes.
I don't think that's the best time to first say it if you really mean it.
Right. But once it's out there, right?
So, yeah.
But I don't think that it counts. Not during sex either. And especially the first time.
And especially if it's not said ever after that outside of the bedroom.
Right.
Then, yeah. Right. Not cool.
Right. Let's see what the experts say about that. The question to ask at a later time is, how would you feel if they were never to see you again?
Ooh.
Yeah, I liked that answer. Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty deep. That's intense.
Right?
But yeah, I mean, I guess that's really how you find out.
Right? It's not about, did you mean that you said I love you during sex? But just, hey, how would you feel if you never saw me again?
Yeah. I mean, I actually know someone who's in that situation where their partner says that and literally will say, I want to marry you. Yeah.
Only in sex.
Outside of it, has never said I love you or anything like that. So
no,
that's some good advice that I should give to her.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's crazy. And this is relationship advice that I thought was spot on.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes from Steve Harvey, who I think is hilarious. So we're not going to be able, I won't be able to deliver it with his humor, but he says his one piece of relationship advice is to stop talking about your relationship with other people.
Mm.
And especially once you get married, you know, form a two-handed circle and don't let anyone else in there. So maybe especially earlier on, right? But stop talking about your relationship to other people. Keep your mom and your friends out because they're just going to mess it up.
Yeah, I think early on it's probably okay. Because I think you don't really reach that level of intensity and commitment until later.
Right.
And that's when you should probably just make sure you're really, I mean, you should always make sure you're communicating with your partner.
Right.
But at that point, it's Like it's the two of you against the world.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you should. Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that, with the two-handed circle and don't let anybody else in there. But mm-hmm. I think it's kind of open-ended. It's not, you know, draw a line in the sand.
Yeah.
Clearly you want to communicate still with other people. It's just with those intimate details of your relationship, I think you just
stop.
I think if you don't talk about that.
If you're in a position where there's some kind of conflict or, you know, distrust or something like that, it's definitely something you should sort through yourself. But at some point when it's really causing distress, sometimes you just need to talk to a friend or to your mom or, you know, and just ask that they not form an opinion. Right. Don't, you know, try not to be biased, but this is something that I'm really struggling with and I just need someone to talk to.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. 100%. 100%. And then I saw a Steve Harvey episode and with a special guest that he had, Bella Gandhi. And she is the founder of the Smart Dating Academy.
Oh.
And she says to make a list of what you want your dream guy or girl to have.
Mm.
So immediately my mind went to manifestation, mm-hmm. right? And I used to have a list.
Did you?
Oh, hell yes.
I don't think I've ever made one.
You know, he had to be tall. He had to make more money than I did. You know, he had to have no children or grown children. I mm-hmm. had a long list. But it was funny, and it is funny, I don't really have a list now. Because over the years, I kept striking things off the list. Like, okay, maybe they don't have to make...
That's not as important as I thought. Yeah.
They don't have to make as much money as I do.
Right.
You know, there were just a lot of things. And then at the end, it was like, he just has to be tall. And now,
and have a job, just a job.
No, but I didn't even say a job. I mean, especially now at my age, he could be retired or independently wealthy.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't necessarily have to have a job. But yeah, I still do like tall men, but I think my height preference is even lowered over the years. But in the back of my mind, I keep thinking, you're just settling.
Right. That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Do you think that's because you're like, okay, I'm being too picky?
Yeah.
You know? I always tell my kids this, you know, it's okay to be too picky.
Yeah.
But you do need to know what you are willing to tolerate and what you're not willing to tolerate.
Right.
What's important to you about how they make you feel and the person you are and want to be. Those are the things that I think. And I've never like physically written down a list, but I think I've always kind of had one in my head.
Right.
And I haven't always been like loyal to that list. I've sacrificed a lot. But yeah, I think it's important to know that stuff. And you kind of learn that in dating.
Right.
Sometimes you think things you can tolerate, you find you can't.
Right.
You know?
So. Yeah. Yeah. And here is something else that Bella Gandhi had said. To identify red flags and know when to walk away.
Mm, that's really good.
And I think it's easier said than done, mm-hmm. too. But number one, mismatched core values.
Mm, right. That's big, especially if you think it's your life partner.
Right.
And you think.
And I'm thinking of your daughter right mm-hmm. now. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a big conflict in politics and
lifestyle, his family.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And I think that she's feeling that maybe she's, based off things he said, she's not really up to par. And so she's kind of like, is he just settling or is this really serious to him? And also there's a lack of respect on what she believes in and what her core values are.
Right.
So yeah, that's
so maybe
what
she's
I told
not
her.
Even getting
what?
Past
that's
number
a red
one,
flag.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Number two. This one was a shocker for me.
Mm-hmm.
Total shocker.
Okay.
Makes you feel butterflies.
In a good way or a bad way?
Well, when you feel butterflies in your relationship, like you have a first date,
uh-huh.
and then, you know, after the date and you feel all butterflies in
okay,
your tummy.
Okay, so good butterflies.
You like... would think so, but no, they're saying this is a red flag that something is wrong and that we think that the butterflies are a good thing, uh-huh. but it's actually based upon fears and anxiety.
Okay, yeah, because that's why I was saying like good or bad, because if you get that like feeling in your stomach like ugh.
Right.
I guess if you're just like, I don't know. I mean, you could be really nervous because you really like the person.
Right.
But maybe because you don't feel they're reciprocating the same level of interest.
But I just think if you have a good date and, you know, the connection you feel is there, and then you have, oh, butterflies when you think about them.
Right.
It never occurred to me that that could be a red flag.
Yeah.
But considering I'm still single, I think I'll take it as a red flag. Moves too quickly.
Oh, yeah. Gosh. Yeah. We just talked about my niece.
Yes.
She's been dating a guy for 6 months and they're engaged.
Right. But they're engaged. They didn't get married.
No, but...
Engagement's, what, a year, you should think, right?
Well, I mean, you have to have time to plan the wedding, but...
Most cases, but yes.
I mean, I feel like in the first 6 months, you're still kind of in what they call, I guess, the honeymoon phase. I don't know. I mean, people say when you know, you know.
Right, I know.
And some people get... I've heard of people getting married after 2 weeks, you know, and they're still together, so... Right. I don't know.
I wonder if age has anything to do with it, because I would like to think that the younger me and me now would be two different people. Mm-hmm. If I met somebody and I thought, oh, this person is it, maybe it is, versus if I was 20.
Right, right.
You know?
Well, yeah. I mean, when I met my current partner, I remember thinking, wow.
You knew right away.
Why? Yeah. Why did I ever...
Because I remember thinking, you haven't even gone out for 90 days. And you're like, oh, no, this is it.
Oh, yeah. I knew it. Yeah. I knew it. And I just remember thinking, why did I ever think I was in love before?
Right.
Or get married? I never felt this feeling before, ever. I mean, it was nothing I'd ever experienced.
And that's what I hear.
And that was in my late 30s.
Listen to me, that's what I hear. It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. Okay. Okay. But yeah, moves too quickly, red flag.
Yeah.
Inconsistent behavior patterns.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Right. But I mean, they could be subtle. We're not talking, I think that right now we're thinking, oh,
bipolar.
Extremes. Yeah. Exactly. But maybe they don't call you when you feel they should have called you back, or, you know, keeps in touch.
Yeah, or they do
regularly.
Sometimes, but then they don't.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I guess if somebody is in constant communication with you after, you know, you first started dating and you're dating for a month or two, and then it kind of breaks off. Yeah, then their feelings have changed.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. And the last one she said for red flags and knowing when to walk away is when they lead with negativity.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of people like that.
Yeah. My ex was 100% like that. And especially after, what, the second, third, fourth, fifth time we got back together, I knew.
Yeah.
I knew. And eventually, but I was always the optimist and he was the pessimist. And, you know, women think they can change men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, shoes don't stretch, men don't change.
That's right.
Words to live by. But I just always thought, you know, I brought positivity out of him. But what ended up happening was... his negativity was pulling me down.
You down, yeah.
Often,
yeah.
Always, mm-hmm. always, always, always. Okay, so now let's get to our 11 dating rules that you should try to follow. Now, keep in mind that some of the rules that are most critical for you to follow through on might be the ones that are the least fun to keep.
Oh, yikes.
So, this is funny. Number one. Dating multiple people at once.
Oh, yeah. I've done that.
Right. And it sounds easy, but I'm not even dating at all. So I guess in my mind, I think that has to be the dating app thing.
You yeah.
know, right? Or you have to be younger, because I don't get that many opportunities.
Well, I think, and I don't know really why. I think that's really hard for some people to do. I know two of my kids are like that.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to focus on one person. They don't want to be talking to multiple people. And, you know, maybe they just feel like it's too stressful and they're juggling too much. I think of it more like hanging out with friends. Like I hang out with different friends at different times.
Right.
Why is it any different that I'm hanging, you know, going on dates with different people at different times?
And I think especially it's in the very beginning, right? Once you've established a relationship.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, these rules are off.
Right.
But experts say to spare yourself the hurt by putting a metaphorical egg in several baskets. So that way if one person ghosts you, you know, it may not be as impactful.
Devastating.
Devastating,
yeah.
yes.
Yeah. Number two, keep dates short.
Oh. I like that. In the beginning, you don't want to. I used to, I haven't dated in a while, but do lunches, right? Or quick things, okay. Happy hours, yeah. Just because you, especially
dinners
with
always
online
end up
dating.
Into getting drinks later, right. And the, you know, yeah. So yeah, yeah, they end up very long.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's smart to keep them brief.
Especially in the first couple ones.
To have some conversation and get to know each other a little bit and then go on with the rest of your day.
Yeah. 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 Experts say not much longer than 90 minutes is good. So there
that's
you go.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Number three, be upfront about wanting a relationship.
Mm,
and I think that's interesting. I think it's important, but I think a lot of women in particular are afraid to say that in the very beginning because they're afraid it's going to push somebody away. Right? Too clingy to this, to that. But I think it's good to have your expectations known.
Absolutely. I think that probably both our generations were probably a little more hesitant to mm-hmm. put that up front. Mm-hmm. But I'm kind of finding with what, you know, watching my kids, they're all in their 20s, watching them date, I'm seeing that they are being more upfront. Right. You know, my daughter went through a little spree before this partner she's with of dating different people and just knowing right off the bat, like, nope, not going to work.
Doesn't,
I thought
no
maybe,
yeah.
You know, but it, nothing's there. There's no physical attraction and, or, you know, maybe there was, but they were clearly just wanting one thing.
Right.
You know, right. They weren't, or maybe they weren't even just one wanting thing. They just wanted someone to hang out with. And that was very clear to her that they weren't looking for anything serious. And she would know right off the bat, nope, this is what I'm looking for. I'm moving on. So it does seem to me, and maybe that's just her. I don't know, but I'm seeing that. I think more in this generation.
Yeah, I think so
which
too.
Which is very important.
I think so too. And the experts say if you're worried that telling a potential partner you want a relationship in general because you think it'll scare them off or make you seem desperate, let's go off that idea. You know, anyone who bails isn't someone who would stick around in the long run anyway, right?
That's true. Yeah. Or, you know, if maybe they'll be honest and say, well, I'm not. So I'm really sorry, you know.
Yeah, but, and then you can nip it in the bud. And you don't have to, go
through the whole...
A month or two or 90 days before you know.
Right.
Now the next one, go ahead.
Avoid talking about exes on early dates. Yes, of course.
Right, it's so
isn't
obvious.
Isn't that a given?
Yes, but shockingly, people do it.
I know.
People do it. I think I've even done it.
I don't know if I've done it. Probably. Yeah. I know people I've dated have done it. And I know people my kids have dated have done it because it really bothers them. Like, that's one of the things they'll say to me, Mom, they were, like, complaining about their ex right on the first date.
Right.
Like, what?
Not cool. Not cool at all. Number five, pay more attention to follow through than advanced planning.
Ah.
I don't know. I think that's interesting. I have always had this mindset. If you ask me out, you better know what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Don't pick me up and say, okay, what do you want to do? Mm-hmm. To me, that is a bad first impression. I think that you should make an effort. To me, planning is making an effort.
Yeah, absolutely.
Towards a date, even if you...
They're putting thought into it.
Right. Or give somebody a couple different options. Would you like to go see a movie or would you like to...
What are things you like to do?
You know, go check out this new art exhibit or something. But, you know, giving a couple choices is good. But having nothing, I think, is...
Absolutely. I agree with that.
Absolutely, yeah.
And also, you can usually tell early on in a relationship, you know, if they say things like... Oh, I want to take you to this really nice restaurant or, you know, and things like that. And especially multiple times, yet nothing ever, it never happens.
Right.
Because that can happen very early on too.
True. Yeah. So they say last minute dates are okay. Some people are just not great planners.
Yeah. That's true. I think that's fine.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But if you're going to do a last minute date, then say, hey, let's go get a coffee.
Right.
Like have something in mind.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Don't feel obligated to send a thank you text. Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it would be, you would want an extension of that date. Oh, I just had such a great time. Thank you so much. The movie was great. Or dinner was fantastic.
Yeah.
I loved.
Or just even simple. Food. Like I had a really great time.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I feel like that's okay, but I don't know. And I guess if you don't want to say that because you didn't have fun, then you don't have to feel obligated to say anything.
Very true. Very true. Experts say as long as you thanked your date warmly and sincerely in person before parting ways, there's no reason to send a follow-up text.
That's true.
There you go.
That's true. Easy enough.
Number 7, give them 2 weeks to reach out again.
2 weeks? That seems like a long time.
Wasn't it like 3 days when we were younger?
That's what I thought.
I know. I don't know.
Well, I mean, seeing my kids date, if they've never, like, if they waited 2 weeks, they thought, oh, they're gone. It's toast. Like, it's not happening.
I could, but before the pandemic, when I was traveling a lot, 2 weeks, I could totally see it. Now that I work from home,
you're not as busy.
Don't have a life. Two weeks would seem like an eternity.
Right.
Experts say don't read a whole lot into how quickly they text you as long as it's within the 2 weeks. So 2 week window, people.
Okay.
We have a 2 week window.
Wait at least a few dates to have sex. Well, I've been guilty of not doing that.
It's like, it's the given one, right?
Right.
It's so obvious. But me too. I'm like, most of my, all right, well, okay, let me do some backpedaling here. Quite often.
Yeah, I would say
more
for
than
me
not,
too.
Yeah, but then again, it's probably why I'm single, because those relationships were built upon lust and nothing else, right?
Yeah.
I was, you know.
I would say, I mean, my current partner, I think it was probably a couple of weeks.
Okay.
See, at least.
And it's lasted, a relationship
I would say we hung out a handful of times before.
My last relationship we did as well.
Yeah.
I don't recommend waiting until marriage, though, which is terrible. Because
you wouldn't buy a car without test driving it, would you?
Right, exactly. Oh my gosh, which is, again, my last relationship.
Gosh.
Okay, number 9. Don't freak out about who pays.
Okay, this is new for me because when I grew up, it was always the man.
Yes.
Which I realize is very unfair to all of you men.
I don't know.
However,
think that they should pay.
I do too.
I mean, especially if you're looking for a relationship, how are they going to be able to take care of a family if they can't afford a plate
of
food?
Okay, well, here's the thing. It depends on who asks who out.
Right.
If you were to ask a man out,
right,
you would plan on paying, wouldn't you?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
I would think so.
Right.
Because if you're talking same-sex relationships,
and I don't mind splitting the bill,
right?
But I think it could become awkward.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm thinking more along the lines of same-sex relationships too. Than how you know, whoever asked who out, I think
true.
It should.
Very true.
I think it's very strange on the first date to split. Personally, I think whoever asked who out should pay. But then going forward, I think it's okay, especially if it's like an expensive dinner and they weren't necessarily treating you, you just both agreed, let's go do this, you know?
Yeah.
However, if it's happening too often and you're not treating each other, that's weird to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been in a relationship for 9 years now. We
doesn't matter who pays.
We'll split it a lot of times, but usually it's like, no, I got this one.
Right.
And vice versa.
Yep. So experts say that anyone these days appreciates that you want to offer to split the bill.
Yeah.
So it's appreciated, but I think, you know, if you're looking for a relationship, the man should pay.
Right.
Okay.
Feel free to do some of the planning yourself.
Yeah.
I think that's cool.
Maybe not the first date, but after that.
Well, if they're asking questions.
Right.
Then you can give some ideas.
Exactly.
And help plan it.
Why not?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you rather do something you want to do or go to a restaurant that you like
know
the cuisine?
You'll like?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Okay. Last one, number 11. Eat whatever the hell you want on a first date. I always have. But
I do too.
Yeah.
But that's kind of funny that would be a rule. Like people
don't. These days. Right. Like women should just order a salad. And
I guess if you're thinking, oh, I shouldn't eat a burger because they're going to think some way about me.
Right.
Like, that's not cool.
What I think of is, for whatever reason, I have expensive taste. So I would naturally gravitate to perhaps a steak or one of the most expensive things on the menu.
But not wanting to.
So sometimes I, you know, rethink it and back it down and think, you know what, I'm not going to order the lobster. Right? Lobster was the joke, right? You order lobster, the man pays. He's expecting something. But so I have changed my mind. Just because of the price point, not because, you know, of any other reason.
Yeah, you're just trying to be respectful of how much the bill is.
Yeah.
Which I think is okay.
Yeah, I do too.
I think that's nice.
I do too.
I wish my kids would do that when I took them out.
Right? I know. I know. Mine too. But experts say life is too short to be with someone who doesn't appreciate your appetite.
Oh, that's cool.
Amen to that.
Well, that wraps it up for today. Thanks for joining us on Let's Talk Midlife Crisis. We hope you got some laughs, a little inspiration, and maybe a few new ideas.
If you love today's episode, hit the subscribe button so you can never miss an episode. And hey, share the love. Send this episode to a friend who could use a good laugh and some midlife wisdom.
Please also connect with us on social media at Let's Talk Midlife Crisis and let us know what's on your mind. We love hearing from you.
Until next time, keep thriving, keep laughing, and keep embracing every crazy, wonderful minute of this midlife adventure.
231. That's the average number of apps used by many companies. This leads to a lot of context and tab switching that drains employee focus and costs your company. Grammarly can help. Grammarly's AI works in over 500,000 apps and websites, making it easy for your team to write clearly and on brand without disrupting workflow. Join 70,000 teams who save an average of $5,000 per employee per year using Grammarly. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more.